In a period of my life where I like to look at different things, and I was studying recently on the character of Christ, character of God, and his attributes. And you know, sometimes when you do some examination of your life, and I think of Isaiah in chapter 6, I think of Jacob when he wrestled with the incarnate Christ, the angel, times in our lives where they were forced to look at who they were with, right? Who they were face-to-face with. Isaiah seen, you know, up in heaven high and lifted up, the cherubims, seraphims, and you know, seen God. And then, you know, Jacob wrestled, and they had to take inventory of their life and come to an understanding who they were dealing with in their life. And it changed them both. It's like Moses going to the fiery bush as a point in your life. So when I stop and reflect about God's character and who he is and his attributes, and of course we all know he has many, you know, he's a spirit, he's all powerful. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's truth. He's righteous. He's just. He's love. He's merciful. And he never changes. And we could go on and on and on. But the one that I dwelled on this last couple weeks is his faithfulness. We live in a time right now where nothing stays the same, right? You just watch the news. You listen to our politicians. You listen to the so-called science of today. Listen to the things that's going on, and we all live in a world where there's a lot of problems. If we read our Bible, we know that, you know, in the last days there's going to be issues, right? But we see things speeding up quickly. Nothing's the same. I mean, things change hourly on the news, politics. So I was studying this out and looking at things about Christ and his attributes, and one thing that I got stuck on last week or so is his faithfulness. And I'm thankful that Christ, that God, is faithful in our lives. He's faithful to save us. He's faithful to keep us, and just so on. You know, there's so many things. I don't really have a jumping off point with a verse of scripture, but I just want to start with this. Just kind of remind you who God is. 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." And this is a verse that I like a lot. And 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, it says this, "For all the promises of God are yea and amen." So God keeps his word. He's faithful in everything that he does. We can take it to the bank, as the term goes, right? We can rely on him. And that's important. It's important when we base our salvation and we base everything on Scripture, right? Because John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word." You know, this God is the Word, and that's what we base it on. Because we wasn't there 2,000 years ago when Christ came on the earth, right? So we are basing it off his Word, his Scripture, and our faith is off of preaching of God's gospel, Christ's gospel. So this is where we're going to go at. I just want to talk about three different points. Nothing deep, nothing that you guys already don't know, probably, but it's essential attribute of God. And if I had to title it, I would title it "Responding to God's Faithfulness." You know, God is faithful. All these attributes demand a response from us. So his faithfulness demands a response. So the first verse I want to jump off at, if you want to get your Bible, turn to 1 John 1:9. It's a verse that you already know. I'll give you a second to get there. 1 John 1:9. And everybody can probably quote it in unison together right now. And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If I had to have a title, or like I said, if the title was "Responding to God's Faithfulness," if I had to say what our response would be to this verse, I would say it's honesty. What is a Christian's response or a person's response to this verse? It would be honesty. First of all, this verse is not dealing with salvation, or it's not dealing with our position with God. It's dealing with our relationship with God, right? I use the example, Samuel and Joshua can do something terrible, and I could be angry with them. But you know what? They're still my sons. They never lose that standing with me. They're still going to be a fox for the rest of their life. Same way with our salvation. We're not going to lose our salvation because we sin. This verse is a relationship verse. God's faithful. And you know what? I sin I'm going to say every day, my thoughts, my actions. I may not be murdering. I may not commit an adultery. I may not be doing drugs. But you know, just a wrong thought, just an attitude. We can come to this verse and we can hold on to God and know that He's going to forgive us as Christians for our sins. And we can go there daily. It's not a one-time thing. Proverbs 24:16 tells us that for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know, there's going to be many instances that we sin, that we have a break in our relationship, but we can come to Him. He's faithful. He's faithful. I may falter many times, and my kids, my wife may rely on me, and I may falter, but Christ is not going to falter. He's going to be faithful in this. And what a promise this is. We have a response to sin. In my notes here, I'm trying to make heads and tails of my notes, my chicken scratch here. But we can respond to sin in two ways as a Christian. Proverbs 28:13 tells us that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We as a Christian, we can be honest, and that's our response to this verse, to God's faithfulness, is honesty. We can be honest and we confess our sins, right? And we can continue that relationship and grow and keep an open communication with Christ, with God ourselves. Or we can do what? We can do the second option, and that's cover our sins. A lot of people like to, you know, if I just say me and Jim knew each other very well, we've known each other for 50 years, and we're close, and I'd say, I'm not as bad as Jim. My sin is not bad as Jim's sin. Or Jim could say, you know what? John's a pretty bad, he's a hypocrite. You know, my sins is not bad. That's not our comparison, is it? Our comparison is what Christ tells us, what our perfections in Him. So that is not our comparison. So we can cover our sins by comparing to other people. We also can confuse our sin by saying, you know, oh, it's not really a sin, it's a white lie. So we have two options. We can confess it and stay right, or we can cover it. But our response, it's required, is, you know, we need to be honest. And I remember when David Gibbs was here, was it 2015, 2016, he made a statement in that service that evening when he was preaching, and it was that the first step of revival was being honest with God. So in our lives, if we want to have a revival, and this church has been praying collectively for revival for a long time, and I know our pastor prays for revival all the time. And again, the men of the community, the churches, get together and pray on Fridays. And this weekend coming forward, this Sunday, we'll be getting together for the whole purpose of revival. But that statement stuck with me. You know, the honesty is where revival is going to start in our lives. The first step of revival is being honest. So we need to see sin as God sees it, right? We need to confess it and be specific about it. And two, we need to accept God's faithfulness to cleanse us and forgive us, as the verse says. So our first thing that God's faithful in that I see in this verse, 1 John 1:9, is He's faithful to forgive, and we need to be honest in our lives with our sin and keep it clean, keep account with that. And we can go to Him daily. He's faithful. What a promise, right? What a promise. We don't have a God that turns us away. He's there, and He's there every day, every moment of our life. And that's a blessing to me, a blessing to me. He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive. Secondly, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13, another verse that everybody's probably very familiar with. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And the second thing that God is faithful in, it's escape of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I see here that there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who shall not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. It's good that we don't get sent out in this Christian life and Jesus just says, go. You're on your own. He doesn't do that. He forgives us, and He keeps that relationship through asking for forgiveness. Secondly, He's going to also help us in our day-to-day life. You know, there's not a temptation that's given to me that Gabe is going to experience different than me. We all have the same temptations, right? The flesh, the pride, all this stuff. There's not something, somebody in China or somebody in Korea today is not going to have different types of temptations. And the Bible tells us that there's no temptation taken that such is common to man. You know, our job is to acknowledge that there's no difference between you or anybody else when it comes to temptation. Our response to this is humility. Humility. Admit that you can't do it. We can't do this. We can't fight sin. We can't fight temptation. Can't fight the things of this world on our own. But in humility, we need to thank God that He's going to be there with us and allow us to go through this temptations and things in our lives. Admit it that you can't do it alone. Ask God to give you an escape route. Psalms 34:6 says, "Ask the Lord." 34:6 says, "The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." I'm thankful we can go to the Lord and He can give us an escape route. We got to ask Him though. We got to have a relationship with Him. Where in our first point, in 1 John 1:9, we got to have a relationship there. We're free of sin and a relationship that we can go to Him and come to Him and ask Him in times of temptation, times of trouble, that we can humble ourselves and come to Him and He can give us, say, "Hey God, give us an escape route. I don't know how to conquer this sin in my life. I don't know how to get over this temptation," no matter what it may be. It may be something simple like me, a Snickers bar. I use that as an illustration. But, I mean, no matter what it is, whether it's finances, whether it's, you know, there's people struggling out there today. I have friends that are Christians that are struggling with adultery, fornication, drugs. People that are saved that I know, they're going through certain circumstances in their lives. And they're struggling with these things. But Christ tells us that He will give us a way of escape. There's nothing that's given to somebody that we can't go to Christ and ask for help. And we need to take the steps of faith through God's faithfulness. And thirdly, and lastly, I told you we were going to be short and sweet tonight. God's faithfulness for service. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Now, I don't know if anybody in here other than Brother Electric and Miss Electric called he's been a pastor and a missionary, right, brother? So you have a call of ministry. But besides that, we're all called. We're all called when we're saved, right? A pastor said Sunday, it was a very convicting message Sunday when he talked about giving the gospel, our responsibility as Christians being giving the gospel, and we're all preachers. We're all preachers to bear the word, right? To go out and I was reading in the parable of the talents this morning in my devotion, and you know, we shouldn't be the person that's hiding our talent. We should go out and try to reproduce our Savior in this world. So, but He's going to give us the tools according to this verse here. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also do it. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a lay Christian in your life and the 9-to-5 job, He's going to give us the ability to witness, to testify of what He's done in our lives, right? Pastor laid out a good outline this weekend, this past Sunday, in the bulletin insert. If you don't know the Romans Road, if you don't know how to witness to somebody, if you get nervous, you need a pointer. He gave us a bunch of good help in doing that. But it's a mandate for us as Christians. So we don't have to rely on our brothers that are pastors or missionaries. We are to be going out. And it was very convicting to me as well. So we have a command to do that. So our response to this is in hope. So whether we're a husband, whether we're a parent, whether our ministries to our children, to a youth department, or it doesn't matter what it is, we need to find out what God has called us to, and we need to, in hope, submit to what God's faithfulness is. He tells us that He who calleth us will also do it. So we're not flying blind when we do this. Christ is going to give us, empower us to do this. The response to the calling is the hope. So, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a lay speaker or anything like that. But whatever the ministry God has given to me in my life or your life, we are to be responsible in that and being fulfilling what the commandment is for God for us. I have a ministry to my wife. I have a ministry to my sons and my daughter, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those in the world. We all have a ministry, and He's given us the ability to do that. Faithful is He. And there are so many verses I went down and I wrote over and over again that Christ is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised it. There's just so many verses in the Bible that tells us that Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful. We may be going through a trial or tribulation today, whether it's maybe we have a sin issue in our life. Maybe we have a service issue right now where we're not doing what we're supposed to do in our service. Maybe it's we have a temptation in our life. He is faithful. He's faithful. We need to acknowledge those areas in our life, and we need to come to him humbly. We need to have hope, and we need to be honest in our lives with him, and he will do it. Last thing, we'll close up with this, and we'll spend some time in prayer tonight if you've got some time here to spare, is Lamentations. I know that a lot of people, this is their favorite, some of their favorite stuff is Lamentation. Hopefully Pastor Dattin already opened this and drank all of it. Probably has. It's okay. Lamentations 3. This scripture kind of sums up all of this together. We see the honesty, we see humility, we see hope, and we see God's faithfulness. And Jeremiah, this book is depressing if you read it in a whole, but this part of the scripture is very encouraging because we hear that great is his faithfulness, right? Lamentations 19 starts out, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. He's being honest. He's being honest about his situation and his life. 20 says, verse 20, my soul hath him still in remembrance and is humbled in me. There's the humility. Thirdly, we see in verse 21, this I recall to my mind before, therefore I have hope. There's the hope. In verse 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fell not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We see God's faithfulness in that. I just want to be encouragement tonight that we serve a faithful God. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. I know we're all going through different trials and tribulations in our life. Some of us may be on mountaintops right now. Some of us may be in the valleys. Some of us may be going through temptations right now. Some of us may have a sin problem. Some of us may be questioning our service, how we can serve, and how can we do it? I can't do it. I can't do the things that Pastor preached on this past weekend. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm an introvert. I cannot do these things. And of ourselves, we can't do these things. We can't. But if we rely on our Savior and what he's laid out for us in his scripture, we can seek his help through the Spirit, and they will absolutely be with us, guide us in that. So I hope that's an encouragement and blessing to you. It's only been 20 minutes, so I didn't do any worse or less than an evangelist, huh? So it's short time. I encourage you guys, spend some time this evening in prayer. We've got our prayer list. If you've got a burden about something, if you don't have anything to pray about revival. Let's pray about being honest in the situations in our life. Whether you have children, you have a spouse, you have issues in your life right now, is the time to pray about it. Our church, we have a prayer bulletin that we went over briefly a while ago, but there are a lot of people that need prayer, a lot of spiritual people, things. I forgot to add, my mother is having a knee replacement on December 28th. If you guys remember Patty Fox, add her to your list. But there's people that needs prayer. So let's be mindful of that. Let's spend the last 15 minutes or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you can give, and just spend time in prayer calling out. Jeff, you just close us tonight in prayer, and then we'll spend some time in prayer alone together.